since we're going to have a closing hymn later, Rick, you've got 15 minutes to do what you want with it, and we're going to ask Sister Sandy to ask a blessing on this short segment, please.
Our dear gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the blessings of this weekend and for the brethren here who have sacrificed for behalf of all of us. And we thank you, Father, for the food that you have put before us. We ask that it would nourish our minds, that we might serve thee and walk in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior. We ask, Father, that you would guide and direct the rest of this meeting. Help us to retain these truths that we have learned and to digest them. We pray for thy kingdom, for the uplifting and blessing of all of mankind. We ask it all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you own a copy of Brother Megason's notes, you turn to the end of the book of Ezekiel comments, you'll find most of what Brother Rick is now saying. So he doesn't have to write it down to have Martha type it out and copy it. Brother Rick, fill another 15 minutes for us.
Well,
thank you.
What was that verse you were just having us look at, Brother David, at the intermission? That's such a lovely lesson.
Oh, to 44:23?
Yeah. 44:23. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the common, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And in controversy they shall stand in judgment. They shall judge it according to my judgments, and they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all mine assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbath. Just a contrast was back to Ezekiel 22, verse 26. Ezekiel 22:26. The Lord chastening Israel says, her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the common, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. So, just a contrast showing the obvious difference between what had been in Israel and what will be in the kingdom arrangement. That was a lovely lesson there. The altar, this altar, not the wood table, but this altar, that's the only other piece of furniture. I take that back, that's not true. Sorry, didn't want to say that. This altar here in the inner court is described in chapter 43, starting in verse 13. These are the measures of the altar after the cubit. Cubit is a cubit and a handbreadth. Even the bottom shall be a cubit and a handbreadth, and the border by the edge thereof round about shall be a span, and this shall be the higher place of the altar. And from the bottom upon the ground, even to the lower settle, shall be 2 cubits, and the breadth 1 cubit, and from the lesser settle even to the greater settle shall be 4 cubits, and the breadth 1 cubit. So the altar shall be 4 cubits, and from the altar and upward shall be 4 horns, and the altar shall be 12 cubits long, 12 broad, square in the 4 squares thereof, and the settle shall be 14 cubits long and 14 broad in the 4 squares thereof, and the border about it shall be 1/2 cubit, and the bottom thereof shall be 1 cubit about, and his stairs shall look toward the east. And he said unto me, Son of man, thus saith the Lord God, these are the ordinances of the altar in the day when thou shalt make it, to offer burnt offerings thereon, and to sprinkle blood thereon. And thou shalt give it to the priests, the Levites that be of the seed of Zadok, which approach unto me, to minister, and so on. I'm going to stop. I know this is a lot of reading, but when you digest it, what you see is the altar. There's a top of the altar. There is an upper settle. There is a lower border or settle. And then there is a bottom. There's 4 divisions here. and narrower on the top, getting to a wider base. And the suggestion is that this top of the altar, where the four horns would come out, would be the Christ. The upper settle underneath them would be the great company. The lower border or settle underneath that would be the ancient worthies, and then the bottom would be restored mankind, not unlike our chart of the age pyramid on the chart, similarly. The beauty of it is once again, you end up with a way of finding the four positive destinations of mankind. You know, the one negative, the fifth of second death isn't in the picture, but you have the four positives, like the four rivers out of Eden. You can come up with these same four. Isn't it the sixth volume where we've got the arrangement of the encampment of the tribe, of the division of the Levitical tribe around the tabernacle with the four cardinal points, give us our four destinies of mankind, the four positive destinies. So anyway, to be honest, this is how I got into this study, was looking for places in the Bible where we've got the four destinies depicted. And this was one of them. Another one was, of course, the people in the outer court that worship on the Sabbath, the princes in the gate, the Levites, and then the priests. Again, our four destinies of mankind. And it was kind of interesting that you came up the seven stairs for perfect restored mankind. The princes got to come up these stairs a little bit just to the beginning where they received instruction. So the ancient worthies were a little higher, but still out in this court area. Suggestion. And of course, the great company is higher yet, another level higher, and then the little flock, the Christ is shown even at a higher elevation. Just another four, as it were. Possibly. But there's no metal described in this altar. So it's just that's another one of these peculiarities. You would think that there is. Does it tell us the building material? And I missed it. I don't think so. It just tells us the measures and describes it. Right? Yeah. So, okay. Here is something that's kind of interesting. That's in the 44th chapter, 45th chapter, 45th chapter, verse 1, 45:1. Moreover, when you shall divide by lot the land for inheritance, you shall offer an oblation unto the Lord, a holy portion of the land. The length shall be the length of 25,000 reeds, and the breadth shall be 10,000. This shall be holy in all the borders thereof round about. Of this there shall be for the sanctuary 500 in length and 500 in breadth, four square round about, and 50 cubits round about it for the suburbs thereof, or open land. And of this measure shalt thou measure the length of 25,000 and the breadth 10,000. It shall be the sanctuary and the most holy place. The holy portion of the land shall be for the priests, the ministers of the sanctuary, which shall come near to the minister unto the Lord, and it shall be a place for their houses, and an holy place for the sanctuary. And the 25,000 length and 10,000 breadth also shall be the Levites, the ministers of the house, have for themselves for possession. For, and it says 20 chambers, but what else do you have for reading other than the King James 20 chambers?
Which verse?
End of 5.
Cities.
For cities to dwell in.
Yeah, I think that's the better rendering that's brought out. So it's not 20 chambers if you've got the King James, it's cities. So these are cities for the Levites. And you shall appoint the possession of the city 5,000 broad and 25,000 long over against the oblation of the holy portion. It shall be for the whole house of Israel, and a portion shall be for the prince on the one side, and on the other side of the oblation of the holy portion, and of the possession of the city before the oblation of the holy portion, and before the possession of the city from the west side westward, from the east side eastward, like elect shall be over against one of the portions from the west border even unto the east border. In the land shall be his possession in Israel, and my princes shall no more oppress my people, and the rest of the land shall they give to the house of Israel according to their tribes. So we've got our priests, we've got our Levites, and we've got our little flock, we've got our great company, we got our princes, which would be in this case the ancient worthies, who've taken the place of the old princes of Israel, which oppressed the people, the old kings and such, replaced now by the ancient worthies. And then you've got a whole portion that's for Israel. So once again, we got our four divisions, or four classes, the four destinies of mankind. But it also demonstrates that there's a special arrangement for the temple, the sanctuary, and then the divisions. Now, you could do a lot with the numbers here and get this figured out, but take a look over in chapter 47, verse 13. Thus says the Lord God, this shall be the border whereby you shall inherit the land according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have two portions, and you shall inherit it, one as well as another, concerning the which I lift up my hand to give it unto your fathers, and this land shall fall unto you for inheritance. This shall be the border of the land. And then he describes geographically, with names we recognize, the border of the land. And he takes that all the way down. We won't read that. And we'll go down to verse 22. And it says, and it shall come to pass that you shall divide it by lot for an inheritance unto you, and to the strangers that sojourn among you, which shall beget children among you, and they shall be unto you as born in the country among the children of Israel. They shall have inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. And it shall come to pass that in what tribe the stranger sojourneth, there shall ye give him his inheritance, saith the Lord God. So it's beautiful that you've now got the Gentiles who want to be joined with Israel under the Israelitish new covenant are allowed to come into the land, and there's no difference made between them once they've entered into this arrangement than from the Israelites, even though to Israel it was offered first. And the Gentiles, of course, have to cooperate with that and acknowledge that in order to get their blessing, but the Lord includes them. And in 48:1, it goes on to say, now these are the names of the tribes from the north end to the coast of the way of Hethlon. And then it reads down and you have all these borders. Now, I think a handout that was given out yesterday had that, which we thank Brother Edmund Jesuit for. And I think we all had copies of that. Yeah, that one. Yeah. I'm glad you all got it. I can't find mine, but it's okay. No, it's somewhere here. But anywho, you can look at it, and you can see that this is what you would be reading in the beginning of the 48th chapter. But then when you look at the center part, you see how Brother Edmund has described it. You've got a portion for the princes on the two sides, east and west. You have your area for your Levites. You have your area for your priests, and it's in the center of the area for the priests that you have the sanctuary. But down below the Levites portion, you have the city. So normally we would think of having the temple in the center of the city. But here in this word picture, it's not. You have this distinction. So that's...
Didn't Ezekiel say it was east of the city? Cut it out and turn it and paste it back on.
Where would that have been?
That the mountain, this temple is built on the mountain to the east of the city.
Are we going back to chapter 40 at the very beginning, maybe?
No idea. I don't remember. There have been so many places I'm lost, well, and I don't have geo, whatever it is called.
GPS. Well, in 40 verse 2, we read that he was on a high mountain by which was the frame of a city on the south, and that was just depicting the earthly phase of the kingdom. But if there's more, we're happy to, if there's something more direct.
Brother Rick, in this version it says, he brought me into the land of Israel and set me on a very high mountain, and on it to the south there was a structure like a city.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm thinking of. Sorry.
I don't know what that means.
Well, were we showing that in the kingdom, what we're going to view is the earthly phase of the kingdom with this setting.
So it goes to the south.
Yeah.
Because north is it. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe that's all there is to that.
Yeah.
Okay, Brother Rick, we are out of time. Do you have one final anything from chapter 48?
Verse 35.
I like the last four words.
Very good.
The Lord is there. It's a good way to stop the book. Yeah. You want to look at him?
Wow.
Sure.
Well, take all this stuff home, digest it, pray about it, and Lord willing, we will talk later.
Lord. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. 155.
155. We just sang that today.
We did?
She was out.
Oh, you were out.
Oh, well, then let's sing something else.
We sang 156.
156.
That's what we sang.
Oh.
No, we did 155, too. You were out, too.
We were out together.
Yeah. Any other one?
How about 158?
158. Well, that'll work. Let's sing 158 and then ask Brother Rick for a parting prayer. And he'll get on the airline.
We are on the edge of glimpsing into thy holy things. Heavenly Father, we are unworthy except as we have given our little hearts to thee, and thou hast made a way that we can approach thee with confidence through our faith in the blood of dear Jesus, thy special gift, the unspeakable gift. No words can express our appreciation and our heartfelt gratitude that you have given us this peace with thee. and has invited us into these, to look into these holy things, and to have the grand privilege of serving before Thee with our Lord and Master, Thy great cause in the earth. Heavenly Father, we do believe this has been a special time together apart. We do thank Thee very much for it. We thank Thee for those that had breadth of mind and heart to organize this for us and prepare it for us, that we might focus on the spiritual. Dear Lord, please overrule all the expressions given here, that we might come away with greater clarity. Help us to discern Thy leading. We do so appreciate that indeed we're being shown knowledge in advance of the rest of the world of mankind. May we use it to be a blessing even now, and especially then. Be with us, dear Lord, as we depart. Help us to reflect back on these things, be able to see greater depths and insights, to become more familiar with how You have presented this through Thy prophet. Guide and direct us, overrule for all Thy people the world over, as well as natural Israel. And we look forward to the day when all shall praise Thee and sing forth to Thy glory. For this end we praise Thee and thank Thee in Jesus' name.